Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM, heard across the East End on 96.9 FM in Central and Western Suffolk. I'm Michael Mackey. Long Islanders who heat their homes with natural gas are expected to see a 29% increase in their heating bill this winter, National Grid said yesterday, as volatility in the natural gas market continues to impact prices, particularly in the Northeast. Mark Harrington reports on Newsday.com that average National Grid customers will see their total winter heating bills jump $299 this winter to $1,320, excluding taxes. Winter heating bills in 2021 saw a 25% increase. National Grid has about 611,000 gas customers on Long Island. The average National Grid customer on Long Island uses about 720 units of gas, known as therms, during the heating season, which runs from November to March. The bulk of the expected increase for the winter, or $238, is the result of higher wholesale gas prices, while the balance stems from state-approved delivery price increases and other surcharges, the company said. Quote, the Northeast this winter will be more expensive than the rest of the country, in part because of less gas infrastructure in the region, said Juan Alvarado, Director of Energy Markets Analysis and Standards for the American Gas Association. Natural gas prices from National Grid have been trending higher all year, including surpassing five-year highs. National Grid said it was releasing the forecast a month early to give customers a chance to prepare for the increases. Taking responsibility for the crucial oversight that resulted in the inclusion of unfortunate language, Carrie O'Farrell, a partner in the consulting firm Nelson Pope Voorhis, tendered a letter voluntarily removing the firm from the contract that sparked an uproar in Hampton Bays 2 weeks ago. Kitty Merrill reports on 27East.com that included in the contract, in a description of the work the firm planned to undertake in an effort to renew the Hampton Bays Downtown Overlay District legislation, was a statement under the heading Community Outreach on the first page of the scoping document. It stated that the firm would attempt to neutralize opposition to the redevelopment plan by painting opponents as NIMBYs, spreading misinformation to promote their own agendas. In the letter, dated September 6th, O'Farrell blamed a subcontractor for crafting the outreach section. She wrote, "We sincerely regret the inclusion of this inaccurate statement, as it is in absolute contradiction of the town's longstanding and ongoing efforts to engage all residents with interest in the proposed Hampton Bays revitalization efforts. In celebration of National Recovery Month, we are invited to an evening of hope and recovery. That's tomorrow, Thursday, September 8th, at Good Ground Park in Hampton Bays from 5:15 p.m. to 7:45 p.m. Without question, the impact of COVID-19 has taken its toll on even the strongest of individuals. Please join us as we come together in community, share local resources, highlight ways to reduce stress, honor those we have lost, and even enjoy some ice cream. We have walked through a lot together. Let's continue our journey stronger, say the organizers of this event. That's Hope and Recovery, Thursday, September 8th at Good Ground Park in Hampton Bays, tomorrow evening from 5:15 p.m. to 7:45 p.m. Attendees are welcomed and encouraged to participate in various activities. Long Island Railroad commuters arrived Tuesday morning to a considerably different-looking Penn Station, one with tall ceilings and brightly lit wider walkways. Let there be light, Governor Kathy Hochul said at a news conference yesterday, marking the milestone in the ongoing renovation of the LIRR's concourse at the 112-year-old station. This looks spectacular. This is the new Penn Station, the governor said, and we're just getting started. The concourse, which stretches between 7th and 8th Avenues below 33rd Street, long had been known for its cramped walkway and low ceilings, which were lowered even more while construction was underway. The new 18-foot high ceilings stretch across the concourse and include 9,500 square feet of LED light panels. Vertical columns along the walkway feature new digital track information displays. Alfonso A. Castillo reports on Newsday.com that also providing more breathing room for commuters are 57-foot-wide walkways, nearly double the previous width. The Metropolitan Transportation Authority, which led the project, pushed the retail storefronts along the corridor back several feet to clear the space. The difference was immediately apparent to several Long Island Railroad commuters as they emerged from track platforms and gazed around the transformed space, which Governor Hochul said had been dark, dreary, cramped, and suffocating for too long. Even though Hochul and MTA leaders showed off the $600 million project Tuesday, the work is far from done. The Farm Laborers Wage Board voted 2-1 to submit final recommendations to the New York State Labor Department that would reduce the number of hours farm workers have to work to receive overtime pay. Victor Ocasio reports on Newsday.com that at a virtual meeting yesterday, the three-member wage board voted on whether to submit a report with recommendations to lower farm workers' threshold for overtime pay to 40 hours in a week from the current 60-hour threshold. The suggested changes would bring down the threshold over a 10-year period starting in 2024. The board must now submit those recommendations to State Labor Commissioner Roberta Reardon for approval, at which point she will have 45 days to review the board's findings and make a final decision on whether the recommendations should be put into effect. In January of this year, the board initially recommended that the threshold be lowered by 20 hours over a 10-year period starting in 2024. From then onward, the threshold will be lowered by 4 hours every 2 years for a decade. Until 2020, farm workers in the state were not entitled to any overtime pay. When the Farm Laborers Fair Labor Practices Act of 2019 was passed, farm workers in the state became eligible after laboring 60 hours. American Airlines flew its last flight out of MacArthur Airport on Tuesday morning, one of four airports the carrier dropped due to pilot shortages that have slammed the aviation sector. Lorena Mangelli reports on Newsday.com that beginning today, American Airlines will also no longer provide service at airports in Dubuque, Iowa, Ithaca, New York, and Toledo, Ohio, the airline spokesperson Brian Meatham said. The pilot crunch has also led several other major carriers to cut schedules, mostly in smaller communities, according to Rally for Air Service, a coalition of groups, airports, and airlines. Who will fill the gap at MacArthur Airport in Islip? Frontier Airlines, Southwest Airlines, and Breeze Airways continue to provide service there. Republican nominee for governor, Congressman Lee Zeldin of Shirley, Long Island, is sticking by former President Donald Trump despite the political risks in his blue state challenge of Democratic incumbent Governor Kathy Hochul. There are people who are obsessed over this theory that the top three issues of New Yorkers are orange man bad, orange man bad, orange man bad, Zeldin said at a Manhattan press conference yesterday. Zach Williams reports in the New York Post that the GOP nominee said he might even campaign alongside Trump ahead of the November 8th election while arguing a whole lot of independents and Democrats see rising crime and inflation as more concerning issues. The defense of the embattled 45th president came just hours after Governor Hochul unleashed a $2 million statewide ad blitz, blasting Zeldin over his opposition to abortion rights and ongoing ties to Trump and his unfounded claims about the 2020 presidential election. Quote, Zeldin's campaign is more focused on appealing to the far right than delivering results for New Yorkers. On issue after issue, he's made it clear that he would bring the same dangerous MAGA agenda to New York if elected governor, Hochul campaign spokesman Gerald Harvey said yesterday. Polling has consistently showed that roughly two-thirds of New Yorkers have an unfavorable view of Trump, though he remains overwhelmingly popular among GOP voters who are outnumbered by registered Dems by roughly 2-1 in New York State. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.